I tell you, he's a preacher's preacher. But I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it. The Word of God. Amen. Well, got your Bibles, turn me into the book of Ruth. Or an Old Testament. The book of Ruth. Some of these little books takes a little bit to find them. If you find Judges, go to Joshua and start. Do the other way, you'll find it pretty quick. Book of Judges. You got a one-track mind? You ever? Amen. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read any scripture this morning. Father, we just bow in your presence this morning. We just want to thank you for life, for health, and strength that you've given us down through the years. Ask your blessing now on the scripture this morning. Ask you to bless just our hearts that you've laid upon our heart, oh Father, we pray. Ask it in the precious name that's above every name. We know your word's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray that it may accomplish. You said it would go forth. Accomplish that please you. It would not return void. We ask that to be done today. We ask you to hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that Jesus may be magnified and glorified. In all things we do pray. Amen and amen. I never did, you know what an old preacher said one time? He went and heard an old preacher preach. Went to hear two priests. One of them said, come back and said, look, what a word, what a message, I forgot what all they called it. It was a good word. But said, and went to hear another preacher preach. You know what they said about him when they left? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Jesus. And so, you know, that's what Apostle Paul said, don't come to you wisdom of words, of man's knowledge. It said, come to you in a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And that's what he said. And therefore, just to magnify our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you find in this chapter book of Ruth, I don't even know where to start. It's just, it's only four chapters in it, but it's some kind of word. It's some kind of blessing. I'll just say this. God worked, and he works in mysterious, marvelous ways, don't he? He really does. You know, there was a famine came in the land. You'll find this in the first verse of the first chapter. The Bible said it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man named Bethlehem, Judea, a man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And it says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Name of the one was Orpha. Name of them was Ruth.
They dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and children died, also both of them. And a woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose and her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why ye go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it's grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lift up their voices and wept again. And Orphan kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto the people and unto her gods. Return after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, nor to return from following thee after thee. But whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more. All seven, aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. Hallelujah. I could read on and on. It's a blessed book. But I want to thank God. Listen, you ever wondered how God works? I mentioned a while ago in mysterious ways how he worked. Now, this you have to realize, these Moabites had no, they didn't have no place. They didn't have, kingdom of God were God's people. They were cursed. They were out of sight of it. But I want to say thank God. God's sovereign grace and mercy. And you know what? On over in this chapter, you'll find some more things. You know what? It's all about grace. You know that? You know what Ruth said? Ruth went on with her. Listen, her sister-in-law went back to other gods. But notice what she said to her. He said, don't leave me. You know what she said? For where you go, I'll go. Now, like this part, people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She'd made up her mind, Ruth had. You know, you find Ruth in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, mentioned in the genealogy. If by my Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm not mistaken, I think she's the great-grandmother of David. It's in her close anyhow. But I believe that's what she was, a great-grandmother of David. Listen, how God, now I want you to notice how God can work and move to get somebody. You know what Ruth said? She talked to old Boaz. Now, listen, she was a wonderful, marvelous, her name was Ruth. And you know what? You know, Boaz told him, said, hey, he told the young men, said, don't you touch her. Don't you bother her. I believe from all the things you see in the Bible, from her name and everything else, she was beautiful. She was a pretty woman. But I want to tell you something. God used wonderful ways to get her where he wanted her. Amen. That's the way God works. You can understand it sometime. The first thing, if you notice what he used, if you think about it, he used a famine. to get her. Listen, that they left the country they were in and went to the place where the Moabites were and Moab. And listen, they went there and all, listen, through the, that was an awful thing. Listen, her to go over there and all that, but God had a purpose in it. If you ever wondered why you go through things, why things happen, God's working a plan. He sure is. You know what? You look at this. Would she ever got saved? Would she ever trusted the Lord? If she had to come back to her country? Listen, they didn't serve God over there. They didn't know God over there. Listen, they didn't really do it. But she saw something in her mother-in-law, Naomi. And listen, after Naomi's husband died, and after their husbands died, Naomi's sons, then she saw something in her, because she said, I'm going with you. I'm not turning back. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. He said, I'm going to know your God. I want to know your God. He's my God. Your God's going to be my God. That's what she was saying to her. Oh, thank God. Has God ever worked arrangements in your life and in your home? Listen, and so that's the first thing was, there was a famine. But then the second thing, listen, you think about it. Listen, there was a funeral. There was three of them, matter of fact. Husband died. And then the two sons died. But that didn't, listen. And Naomi, listen, them said, we're going back to, she heard that they were bred in the land again. But listen, she had to go through a famine. She had to go to a foreign country. She had to go all there. But listen, all through it, God had a purpose. He knew there was a little mobile, listen, girl over there. He wanted to bring to this and over there in another place where God was at, where he was at. He wanted to do that. And God did it. He sure did. Don't you notice something about the grace of God? You said, what was all that all about? Grace of God. You know why you're sitting here this morning? You know why I'm standing here this morning? Nothing but the grace of God. You know what? If I can find a verse, give me just a moment. First, Naomi said, you know what she said? She said, I went out of here full, and I came back in empty. You know what? God sometimes has to empty us. When she came back, she was left there with her husband and her two sons. But when she came back, she only had one daughter-in-law. She said, I left here full, and I came back empty. You know what? God will empty us out if that's what it takes. Get his purpose and his plan worked out in our life. But God, in his sovereign grace, in his mercy. Notice what it said in chapter number 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, that's her husband's name, and his name was Boaz. He was a rich man. Mighty man. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose spirit a new sight. Listen to this. She didn't say, I might. She said, I shall find grace. Can I tell you something? This is grace from even from kindness. Listen, even from Boaz. But how much more marvelous is the grace of God he's shown us. She said, I shall find grace. You know what I believe she had? I believe she believed that. She had faith that she'd find grace. She had faith that she'd find it. She said, I shall find it. Whose sight He says, I'm going to let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. And so not only did he have to go through the experience of these other things, famine and funerals, but he had a field she had to get out in. You know what he said? What in the world is he doing in the field? You don't see none of that today. You know what I think of every time I go by a cotton patch being picked with a picker? And they ain't going to get picked no other way now. Excuse my language. I mean, I know it's not proper, but it's not going to get picked no other way now. But it's strode. I said, that'd be some good gleanings. But in the Old Testament time, they had, listen, the poor could go to the fields and glean. They had to leave some on the corners. What was out there, they go and they glean it. But you know what? That's the way God had it set up. You know why? They had to work for it. You know what I believe God's right way is? If a person is able, I'm not saying if a person disabled, no, or sick. I'm saying if a person's able. God so designed it, even in this day and hour, if they were poor, that he would provide for them, but they had to go get it. Had to work for it. And you know what I still believe? I believe what the scripture said, don't work, don't eat. But they was in the field gleaning. They go out there and glean. And you know what? I believe when Boaz saw Ruth, I believe it was love at first sight. I sat there reading this yesterday. I just started weeping. My heart just started melting. And when I read some of these verses, if I can find one, I'm going to read it again. She said she found grace. She's sure she's going to find grace. But look at verse number 11. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You think about that. You think about it. She said, why did you show me grace? Why did you take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? We were strangers away from God. We were separated from God also. Why did God take knowledge of us? And why did he show us grace? I'm telling you, it amazed her. She didn't think nobody's going to pay no attention to her. I mean, she didn't know that. She just believed she'd find grace. She didn't listen. And you know what? Boaz told her, said, you just stay with my reapers. You stay with him. You stay here. She said, I'm a stranger. Why'd you take knowledge of me? Why'd you do that? I want you to look at verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. For that thou hast spoken how friendly unto thy handmaiden, though it be not like one of thine, though I be not like one of thine handmaidens. She differed. But she was so appreciative and so thankful that God, in his sovereign grace and mercy, took knowledge of her. Hallelujah. And so I want to say to you this morning, do you thank God that he had mercy on you? Do you thank God? Are you thankful? Are we thankful that although we're not like someone else, he still had mercy on us? And his grace His grace is all sufficient. You said, what about this grace? Hallelujah. You know what else he said to us? Tell what you to do, verse 16. I want you to let some handfuls fall on purpose. Boy, he was helping right, wasn't he? He said, let them handfuls fall on purpose. You know what? I'll tell you what, God will do that to you, and you and I too. Let some handfuls fall on purpose. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Lord. Hey, aren't you glad that God spoke friendly to us? Although we weren't like maybe even half as good as somebody else. But you know, God's grace is unfavored, unmerited. It's unmerited favor of God to the marvelous, listen, lost. Talking about the grace of God now. The Bible's full of it. You know that, don't you? It even said, I read over where it said the grace of God was on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it said. The grace of God was on him. Folks, it's all grace. Bible said in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What did Ruth find? What did she get? She got grace. What did you get? Listen, when we turned from the other gods and turned to God, what was it? It was grace. What was it brought Ruth down there? It was grace that brought her down there and gave her what was rightly hers in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something. You'd be amazed what God did for her. Although we not, we like her. We not like somebody else. We're not like the other handmaiden, she said. But you still spoke friendly to me. You know what? That kindness and friendliness is to be spoken not only as the grace of God speaks it to us, but we to have the grace of God in our lives that we can speak the same way, friendly and gracious and loving and in kindness. Hallelujah. You know what? People's dying. People's almost just dying for almost thirsting, whatever you want to call it, almost to the point they'd do anything in the world just for somebody to love them, be kind to them, and show them mercy. And you know what? This is what Boaz did to her. Grace. Amen. Praise God. Handfuls on purpose. You know, we used to pick cotton by hand. And you know how old we was when we started picking? Before we went to school. You see, you must have waited. You got old to go to school. No, I didn't either. I'm 6 years old when I started. You know what kind of sack we had? Some of them had long old sacks. Some of them had short sacks. Some of them had a corn sack. Some of them had long drag sacks. We had a flour sack. Right? And you know what I'll never forget? And when you started, you picked on Mama's row. Oh, yeah. She was out there. And guess what she'd do once in a while? Well, she'd reach over and stick a handful of cotton in your sack. You know what God does? He'll just put a little extra on you. If you're having a hard time, he's going to put some cotton in your sack. Handfuls on purpose. God's got a purpose. Now, don't forget that. Purpose for your life and for my life. And amen. And grace bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Titus 2:11 says, it says, by the grace of God, the grace of God bringeth salvation to all of us. He teaching us, the Bible said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The grace of God, it brings salvation to us. It's a grace of God that teaches us to die in godliness and teaches us to live right. You know what I heard? Most of you've heard of, I never heard him in person, I heard him a lot on the TV and read some books at him, Brother Charles Stanley. You know what I heard him say last night or this morning? I heard him some both times. You know what I heard him say? He said, and I had to say hallelujah, he said, if you've never had a change in your life, I don't care how many decisions you've made, what kind of confessions you made, have been baptized, but if you've never had a new life and never had any change in your life and become a new creature and been born again, he said, you're not going to heaven. And I said, hallelujah, that's the truth. Takes a new birth. And how's that come? The grace of God. It brings salvation. It teaches us the things of God. That's God's grace. It is. So she said, I'm going to find grace. And God brought her that grace. And God's in that marvelous grace. God, listen, Boaz showed her. See, Boaz, listen, someone else was closer kin than him. But he didn't redeem it. You see, when they left, you know, they had to, they sold their land or had to give it up because of poverty or poor, whatever happened. You know what happened when Jubilee came? That was 50 years. So 50 years come, Jubilee came, it's going back to them. You see, God gave all of them some land. He gave them all inheritance of the land when he put them in that land. Listen, you know what it did? And listen, he had it for different families and different tribes. It was to stay that way, and somebody could redeem it. That was next kin. If there was next kin, they could redeem it. But thank God, that's what was going on. Listen, that's what was going on. He was redeeming it. And he redeemed her. She was just an old Moabite, a heathen. Listen, but God, in his sovereign mercy, Boaz at the top of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, she was, her husband was kin to him. And you know what? He redeemed her. Paid the price. What did the Lord do for us? He's the type of Christ. He redeemed us. Paid a price nobody else could pay. Shed his blood on Calvary. Redeemed us. Thank God he bought me back. Hallelujah. The devil, listen, may have sold us down the drain. We're serving him. But Jesus came, set us free. Give from the captivity of sin and the captivity of Satan. You know what law can do? Law can, listen, bring us a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and law can condemn us, but it takes grace. Listen, grace of God to convict us and convert us, and listen, give us that life we need. Law can't do it, but grace can. Hallelujah. So I want to say, you don't have to see how good you can get. I'll tell you what God do. He'll take you just like you are. Just like you are. And save you. And give you a new life. What a Jesus. So Boaz is the type of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. And the grace of God brings that wonderful salvation to us. You see, that's what he said. Grace brings it to us. Grace works it in us. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he tells us to work it out. But it's got to be in there first. That's it. Amen. God's ordained us in good works. But thank God for grace. I'll tell you something. If you ever live for God, it's going to be it's going to be grace all the way. Huh? I guarantee you, it'll be grace all the way. Walk in with him. Hallelujah. So now she found grace. Hallelujah. And you know what? I said a while ago, Boaz fell in love with her. Well, I'm glad our Boaz already loved us, don't you? Jesus. what the Bible say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know how much he loved me? Enough to go to the cross of Calvary and die for me. He did. Some of us held me the other day. I'd read it before a preacher. They had a thread on his life. And they was going to rig his car up. Where we got in and drove off, it bomb would blow him up. Somehow. You talking about love? You know what his wife told him? What she did? They thought it was, didn't know if it was rigged or not. She said, honey, you're not getting in that car. Said, I'm going to go try her out. You know what? If you do that even for a companion, that's some love, ain't it? But thank God the car didn't blow up. But she went and tested it to see. That's love. That is love. But she said, nope, you got to preach the gospel. But you know what? God so loved us that he redeemed us. Redeemed us by his blood. No wonder Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. No wonder he said that. He's a Redeemer. Hallelujah. I know in Old Testament times there was a lot of patterns and pictures and things that were being done looking forward to the cross. But now we don't have that anymore. The blood's been shed. Eternal life's ours. You know what? I'm glad we got an high priest. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but ours, I tell you what ours is, he is tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And you know where he is now? He's appeared in the presence of God for us. That's our high priest. That's our Lord. That's our Redeemer. Our Redeemer. He ever liveth. The Bible said to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. It's all by the grace of God. Our Lord's alive. You ever wondered why he told them he couldn't touch him after he got resurrected? Touch me not. I've not yet ascended unto the Father. He was our high priest, wasn't he? No one could touch him on the Day of Atonement. You know where Jesus was headed? He's headed to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. There it is, Hebrews. The throne room of grace. He headed to the throne room of heaven itself to appear in the presence of God to obtain our eternal redemption. He took his own blood into the presence of God. Put it on the mercy seat. For you and for me. Whew. That's the reason you couldn't touch him. Because, you know, a little later he, you said, well, how'd he get up and back? Hey, no problem. Hey, because he come back. I know he come back. Yeah, because he come walking through them closed doors that day when they was up there in our praying. Hey, amen. And he walked in there. You know, Thomas, he said he wasn't going to believe it. He was alive till he saw it. He put his hands and feet in it. And you know what? Jesus walked in there with him. But when Thomas did get to see him, he didn't put no fingers in his hands inside. He said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. So the question I'm asking this morning, he's been to the mercy seat. It's a throne room of grace. It's a throne room of grace. And you know what we can do? We can come boldly to it. That's why the Bible said what it said. Let us come boldly unto the throne room of grace. You said, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about it's a throne room of grace. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. We can just boldly enter there.
because God has made it so that we can. We can go into that Holy of Holies now, that throne room. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament time, man, they couldn't just anybody go in that Holy of Holies. Just couldn't go in there any time either. They didn't know if he went in there wrong. They may be dead just like that. But thank God, we got a throne room of grace. We can go there and we can obtain, listen to this, mercy. We can find grace to help us win. There you go. Time of need. Whew. Hey, if it ever gets hold of us, that we live in this grace dispensation and what God has done for us and doing for us now, we'll be running, shouting and praising God. I was down at the restaurant yesterday while one of them ball games was going on. Give me something to eat. And I told somebody, I said, boy, wouldn't that be nice if you get them kind of crowds at church? And get them to shout, yeah. You know what I say? You go where you love to go. Not that I'm saying anything wrong, go to a ball game. I'm just saying you go where you would love to go. And you know what I'd rather go than even to a ball game? Right here. House of God. I found it's more precious, more fulfilling, more satisfying. Hallelujah. Anything you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace of God. Grace of God. Well, I got to get this verse in before we close. He said, Paul, you know what Paul said? I heard one fellow said, I is what I is by the grace of God. But that ain't what Paul said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. And I'll tell you what you are, what I am. Just the grace of God is all it is. That brought us, bought us, hallelujah, wrought us, changed us, and give us a new life. Hallelujah. Well, Donnie, I heard a preacher preaching. You know, you've been preaching there at the prison on how God could use anybody if he used Paul. And he could use, if he could use me and you a little bit, he could use anybody, right? Hallelujah. I heard a preacher preaching. He's preaching about all of them in the Bible. I can't remember all of them. Said Abraham was too old, God, but God used him. And on through a bunch of them. I mean, on through the scripture. But one of them, the last one he used was this, about God using him. He said he got to use Lazarus, and he was dead. He was. God got him up, didn't he? And used him. And you know what? Don't you know there's a lot of people that was shook up that day? Because they knew Lazarus was dead and been in the grave. How long? What, 4 days? But God got him up. And he said, if God can use a dead man, he can use anybody else. But he didn't stay dead, though, did he? But you know what? We weren't dead in the grave, but I'm going to tell you something. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God quickens us, made us alive. His glory and his honor. Are you glad grace came by your way? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad August 1970, God had an old preacher preaching one night on a Saturday night in a tent meeting, preaching on a subject you don't hear much about today. He's preaching on a place called hell. And boy, I tell you, preached it hot. I could tell you I didn't want to go there. But I'm going to tell you something. That's where I wound up. It hadn't been for the grace of God. The grace that brought that salvation to me. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad he brought it to you? What a Jesus. How he loved us. How he loved us.
He had to have some, he has all kind of strong loves to love us. Here's when he loved us. He loved us when we were in our sins. We weren't righteous. We was ungodly. We weren't strong. We was without strength. But in due time, he died for us. He loved us. He loved us. You say, well, God will love you if you'll straighten up and get everything right. No, I'm telling you something. He loves you before that. I want to say it, love at first sight. He knows who you are. Chosen. Hallelujah. Did you know God knew you well before the foundation of the world, really? That's what he said. You want to finish blowing your mind? He called you and chose you then. You say, well, I didn't know nothing about it, and I didn't either. I didn't know nothing about it until that night I walked down an aisle. But he was drawing me, calling me, because he loved me. Hallelujah. Old John the Baptist leaped in the womb, didn't he? When he heard that salutation about the Lord from his cousin Mary. Whew, he leaped in the womb. Hey, God had a purpose for him, I can assure you, before he ever got out of the womb. I'm going to tell you something. That's why this thing of abortion is so awful. It's terrible. Killing innocent babies. Listen, in the blot of blood, millions of them on America's own soil. And God hadn't forgotten it. We better repent, right? Before judgment comes. Please, Lord, help us to do it. Grace. Would you stand with me?